How many of you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He has given us His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. In Acts 16:30 it says, And after He brought him out, they said to Him, Sir, what must we do to be saved? And He said, Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. So how do you know if you are saved? How does a person get saved in the first place? All they have to do is believe that Jesus Christ has died for their sins. Amen? It's very easy to be saved. Some people have been asking me lately, they've been saying, I'm not sure if I'm saved. What does it actually mean to be saved? Well, the Bible says that all people have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our sins, we're separated from God. That's why Jesus Christ came. He paid for our sins. And if we believe on Him, then we will be saved. Okay? So that is the doctrine of salvation. There is nothing we can do to be saved. Now, there is another doctrine that says that we are saved through our good works. In one place, it says that there is nothing you can do to be saved. All you have to do is believe. But in another place, it says faith without works is dead. So how can it be? There's nothing I can do to be saved. But then if I don't do anything, I can't be saved. Isn't it interesting? Very interesting. Well, before I can rack your mind, before I lose your attention, I want to just give you an answer. There is nothing you can do to enter salvation. Okay? You can't come to God and say, Here, God, I got some change in my pocket. Okay? Got a lot of change. All right? God, here, can I be saved, please? And God says, What? You think you can buy me for $3? You think you can buy me for a few pennies and a few quarters? I don't think so. You cannot be saved like that. So the only way God wants us to come to Him and be saved is through believing in Him. If I believe in Him and if I accept Him as the Lord of my life, I will be saved. But how do I remain saved? That's the question. Okay? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life after you get saved? Because many believers, listen up, many believers, what they did is, they took the first part, that there's nothing you can do to be saved. And they lived their life like that. And that's why we have so many Christians who really are not Christians. Uh-oh, come on. Because they said, well, I prayed the sinner of prayer at LifeLight. Or, I was invited to a church service and I prayed the sinner's prayer, so I am saved. Amen. So awesome. And if you ask anybody if they believe in Jesus, 95% will say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. The interesting thing is that the devil lies to people. He says, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, that He was a good guy, and you will be saved. That's not true. Bible said that demons believe in Jesus. But they are God's immortal enemies that could not be saved. So, demons believe in Jesus. Do you think they are saved? No, they can never be saved. So just believing in Jesus will not make you saved. But the interesting thing is, when you believe in Jesus and confess Him as the Lord of your life, you are saved. But there is a second part that everybody misses. Does anybody have New King James Version? Okay, let's read Ephesians 2:8 again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. 9, gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the way you enter into the kingdom of God, the way you become a Christian, is you believe and you'll be saved. That's it. And if you say, I was saved because I was good, then you're boasting. And it's like coming to God and slapping Him on the face. Because if we can buy our salvation, if I can build a hospital in China for poor people, that's a good work, isn't it? And a lot of people do that. They come to God and say, well, I don't really know if God is there, but I've done so many good works. And if there is God, He will accept me. Because, you know, I build a hospital, I help the poor, you know, I was a good person. Well, good people don't get saved. Because that would be boasting. That would be like coming to God and saying, God, you know, I've done so much, you owe me. God says, I don't owe anybody. I don't owe nothing to you. You owe to me your life, because I have given you your life for rent. And you're going to be accountable for what you've done with it. But see, after we read this, if we stop on verse 9 and don't read verse 10, we have half of the truth. Imagine you go into the hospital and the doctor giving you a prescription. You know, you take 2 spoons of this, 2 spoons of that, 2 spoons of that. And you will be healed. You'll recover. And you come home and you said, well, he said 6 spoons of something. And you take totally different ingredients. And you drink it. Probably will not heal you. Probably will not make you whole. The same thing. It must be the right doctrine. It must be biblical in order for it to work in your life. Otherwise, you have no assurance of your salvation. And I know some of you have been in church for a long time. You've heard this. But please, give me another chance, okay? Because there's many new people who haven't heard this. But verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we read verse 8 and 9. You don't have to do anything to be saved. But then we forget verse 10 that says, hey, you were created for something. And that is good works. You know what my topic is today? Created for good works. Remember we said God created us for something. What happens when we get saved first? What do we do as a believer? Church has told us, well, Christianity is about what you can't do. You can't do this, you can't sin, 7 deadly sins, you know, you can't do that. But they didn't tell us what we should do. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to show you what Christians should do. And Bible says that we are created for what? Good works. So God has created us in Christ Jesus. So when a person becomes a Christian and they still live the same life as they were before, they were not created. Notice that Jesus said we were created. For everyone who is in Christ is what? A new creation. What does that mean, creation? Let's say you were a wolf. Okay? To be created anew means you need to become something different. You need to become a sheep. Because we were wolves in the world. We were sharks. We were evil. We were bad. But then God created us and we became something new. And so you became a sheep, but you're still running with the wolves. And wolves are smart. They said, let's use this sucker. Let's use this fool. Come on. He can get us closer to the sheep and then we can really eat. When you became a Christian, your nature has changed. If your nature didn't change, I would ask, am I a Christian? Although a sheep might want to bite according to their old nature of a wolf, their teeth are not the same as the wolf's. So they'll maybe bite a little bit, but they cannot tear anymore. Because they're different creations now. You see what I mean? And that's why a lot of people, when they get saved, they still try to run. If you're truly saved and you still try running with the wolves, you just are misfit. Have you noticed that? When I was saved and I wanted to run with my drinking buddies and pot-smoking buddies and wild girls, I mean, I tried to fit in. But for some reason, I couldn't fit in anymore. You will notice when your nature changes, when you accept Jesus, you'll have a problem fitting in with people in a group. And then some people are so foolish that they, sorry to call you that, but I didn't mean it. It's not you. It might be your neighbor. It might be your neighbor. It's not you though. And then we want to run around with the wolves, with the old creation. And either you become like them, and they'll tear you up and eat you alive, and then they'll leave you. You know, people have told me that in the world, everyone for himself. If you were selling drugs with somebody, and both of you got caught, somebody's going to sell somebody first. We're friends to death. You know, we made cuts on our hands and we mixed the blood, and you know how people do it in the world. We put a tattoo on, you know, that friends forever. As soon as they get caught, you know, sorry, buddy. I got a deal. You know how it works. So Bible says, for you are Christ's workmanship, created anew for good works. So a Christian is a new creation. Something will begin to happen. Now, I'm not saying that one day you were a sinner and another day you were a saint. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you were born again, a new creation, right? Your life begins to portray in itself something different. People begin to see you as different. You're not the same anymore. That's what God wants to do. When we are saved, we become a new person. Now, let's talk about good works. Because good works could be done out of different motives. You can have a motive. The reason some people do good works is because they want to be recognized. I love people. I give them the best hugs. Because I want to be this social butterfly, and I want to be respected, and I want everybody to like me. You know, sometimes, because the way we stay Christians is by doing good works. Because we were created for good works. Bible says you shall know them by their fruit, right? So if a person has been a Christian for 3 years and they're still not producing the fruit of a Christian, you gotta ask them, are you really a Christian? Because the sign of the true believer is they begin to produce good works. Now, what kind of good works? Well, there's good works, like I said, to please somebody, to be noticed by somebody, to have people see how good, oh, this person in the church, they do so much. Oh, my goodness. If you are looking for men to recognize you, then you will not get it from God. Because God says, do things in secret. Even Bible says when you give, make sure your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is giving. How is that? Meaning don't show it off to everybody. Look what I'm doing. Let's call KSFY, have them come. I'm giving away some of my old clothes. Hallelujah. Call NBC, call Fox, call CNN. Look at the good deed I'm doing. Show it to the world. There's holes, you know. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for something that's coming out of the heart of a believer. Now, let me show you this. You can do good works, like I said, for people to see. Or you can do good works because your heart overflows with gratitude and love for the Lord. Now, let me give you an example. Let me use a married couple. Let's say a husband goes out and just gets mad and gets a paycheck and goes out and goes to the bar and strip club and casino and just has a wild night out. And before he notices it, he has no money left. No house. The $800 paycheck, gone. He goes home like a sheep. And he knows what's going to happen because He probably can imagine that his wife is going to kick him out or she's going to leave him. Because kids need food. This deadbeat, you know, didn't come home, went out and just partied and drank and smoked everything and gambled everything away. And he comes home, his wife already knows what happened. And yet she chooses to give him another chance and says, meets him at the door and says, I love you, dear. Come and I got dinner for you. It's actually breakfast now, but... was dinner, but still, I tried. If he's not a monster, then his heart would be filled with gratitude so much to overflow where he said, I don't deserve this woman. I don't deserve this treatment. And he would try to live a life of doing so much good for her and for the family. Amen? Well, when we meditate on what God has done for us and what He's doing with us during every day of the week, you know, we're worthless, really. We're sinners, really. But He continues to bless us. He continues to forgive us. Then we should come to God in the same sense. God, you send your son Jesus. I have a son right now who is almost 5 years old. I don't think I would want to give him away. And sometimes I have this thing come on me. I'm like, what would something happen to him? I love the boy. Amen. And God did it. And so when we begin to meditate on how much God has done for us, we begin to want to do the good works for Him. Those are the works that God is seeking out of our lives. He doesn't want us to do works of the law. What does it mean to do works of the law? It means, Bible says I must do this, so I do this. And if you don't do this, you're going to hell. God is not looking for the works. If I make somebody do something, if I say, Joanna, go do it. She says, I don't want to. Do it, I said. She will do it because of the law. But it's not going to be her heart. But if she does something before I ask her, and she really doesn't want to, but she does it because He does something because He loves me. That's the kind of relationship God is looking for. God is looking for people who will do good works because it's coming out of their new nature. Not because you are forced. Listen, God is not pleased when you do something because you're forced. Out of fear of going to hell. That's an immature Christianity yet. That's an immature person when he does something, and it's true. So when we first begin, we have to do something we don't really understand or like. Why should I quit, you know, committing fornication? Why should I quit drinking? Why should I stop smoking dope? You know, why should I do that? Everybody's doing it. So first we kind of just obey. But then you come to the moment in your life when you say, God, I want to do this for you. I can see how this is going to hurt me and my family. And most of all, I can see how this is going to hurt you. Because you know, if you saw a little child run in the middle of Interstate 229, would you say, well, you have a free choice. Go ahead, get hit by a car. Or would you do everything possible to say, hey, you can't go there. You can't go on Interstate. I know some of you heroes. You would do everything possible to make sure the kid would not. Well, God looks at us. And sometimes we're so, you know, childish. Because God's thoughts are high above our thoughts. And His ways are high above our ways. So He sees you doing something stupid. He knows when you get together with that boy, all He's going to do is use you and throw you away. He has no intention of marrying you. I mean, at 14... all He wants is little some. Come on. I mean, if he's 20, he has a job and a car and a place, yeah, maybe I would, you know, begin to think something. But when he's 14, he's not thinking about marriage. Although he can write you letters, you know, I love you for the rest of my life and I found you and I'm so glad we're going to spend forever together and you know... I'm so glad, you know. It was God's plan for us to be together forever, and He can use scripture and whatever. But you know what's, He doesn't even know it, but you know what's in His mind. He's driven by something else, by a drive. He cannot be responsible for yet at 14. He doesn't have a license for yet. Hey, you have a license? Ask him, you have a license? Then you can have this. If you don't have a license, marriage license. Hallelujah. Do you remember prodigal son? He took the money and hid part of his inheritance. He went out and spent it with prostitutes and on the prodigal living. Free will type. You know, I'll do whatever I want. And then when he spent it all, he came back to his father, which is a symbol of how we come back to our father. And father, instead of kicking his butt and saying, get out of here, you know, leave my house. He said, no, no, no. He put a new robe on him. He gave him a ring and killed a calf. And they started partying and dancing. What do you think that son is going to do? Bible says, whoever is forgiven of much, loves much. Whoever is forgiven of little, loves little. Hallelujah. So this man is going to love his father more than ever before. He's going to work for his father harder than he ever did before. How many of you have been forgiven of much? Come on. If you have been forgiven of much, just like the man in the story, his wife forgiven him a lot. How can you go living and saying, I don't owe anything to God? How can you go living and not even think about what God has done for us? And continues to do it. God wants us not to do something because the Bible says so or the church says so. God wants us to be in love with Him so much, to be thankful to Him so much, have so much gratitude in our heart that we want to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good works, point number five, are the sign of your salvation. How does a person have confidence that if something happens to me, I'll be saved? How does a person live a life knowing that if Jesus were to come, or if they were to get into an accident or anything, you know, things happen. How do I know that I'll be saved? How do my relatives know that I'll be saved? Because of works that we do. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Not to be loved by God, but because we are loved and we're experiencing this love so much. And Bible says, you shall know them by their fruit. So fruits and good works are a sign of our salvation. If I look at your life, and if anybody here looks at the life of another person, Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Well, that's judging. No, it's not. That's not judging. That's really being a fruit inspector. Yeah, no. See, we have these phrases, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm just looking at your fruit, your resume. Hey, that's what they do in the world. You get a job, they kind of judge you. Oh, don't judge me. Oh, nobody judges me in the world. Yes, they do. They take your police report and they look at what you've done. Oh, yeah. And if you have one, then you get more time. You get to do more time. And so, when we look at a believer, you should be able to say, this person has fruit in their life. And I'll be friends with him. This person is a fake, a hypocrite. And he has no fruit in his life. And remember what Jesus said when a tree, he came to a tree and looked and there was no fruit. He says, he cursed it. And it dried up. In another parable, he said, he came to a tree and there was no fruit and he wanted to cut it down. But a gardener said, no, 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 let me leave it for one more year and take care of it. He says, okay. So he came second year, no fruit. He wanted to cut it down. He says, this tree is taking place in my garden. It's useless. Then he says, Then the gardener says, let me do it one more year. I'll take care of it. I'll fertilize it. You know, I'll do whatever I can to this tree. And Bible says if he comes and does not find fruit, the third year, he cuts it down and burns it up. And so, listen, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty in this church. And this message is as much for me as for you. Begin to examine your life, Bible says, to know if you're still in faith. Yeah, Paul says that. Examine your life, examine your fruit, and see, God, am I really still walking in faith? Is there any fruit in my life? Am I producing any fruit in my life? Next one, point number 6. We must encourage one another to good works. Hebrews 10:24 says this, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good works. And then the next scripture after that tells us, when do we do that? Not forsaking our own assembling together. Guess what we did today? We assembled together. That's why we have halftime between worship and message, so we can encourage one another. What does it say? To stir up one another. Stir up one another. To love and good works. That's why we come. We come to kind of weekly remind ourselves, hey, am I producing good works? Or am I just coming to listen and to enjoy the company of different people, but I don't produce any works? God wants us to produce good works. But the reason I was able to go through my teenage years, because I had people around me who had the same beliefs. And we kind of were checked for one another. We were hanging out together. Young people, it's not enough to come to church on Sunday and then live a life of just different type of friends. Well, you know, I'm just trying to save them. Well, if you're not able to save them, and you're not, because God saves people, then Bible says the friendship with the world is an enemy with God. So if they're pulling you in, you know what I mean? Then you got a problem. Then you're this sheep who is should hang out with sheep for a while to get strong at least. And then go get, you know, do good works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a guy who in this church, awesome guy, still a believer. Still a believer and a strong believer. And he came to church and he was a wild man, like he was a Russian man. They like vodka. I mean, they love to party. And so he got saved, and for about 2 months he didn't go back to, you know, and you know how Russians are. They just drink. You know, that's the parties. And let's drink. And then when they get drunk, fighting, you know. And so he came there, and he called me. He said, what should I do? I got invited to this party. I said, I don't think you're strong enough yet to go. I think you should go, but not yet. Become a little stronger as a believer. So no, I want them all to be saved. So he goes out there, and I know what's going to happen. I mean, this is not the first case. And he goes out there, and the next day I hear that he pulled a gun on somebody, pointed it into his face, and said, I'm going to shoot you. And there was just a huge brawl up there. He's like, I hate that guy. I'm going to kill him. I'm like, hey, you're a Christian now. Oops. And so what happened was, after a while, he said, what should I do? And I said, you call that guy and said, listen, I'm a Christian now, and I messed up. And I really just, and he said, how can I do that? I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. You know, you know how he is. Some of you know him. And finally I convinced, and he called him up, and the guy said, listen, I'm sorry too. You know, I shouldn't have pushed you. You know, I shouldn't have, you know. My wife died because the other guy's wife died. And he's like, you know, my wife died. I'm going through something and blah, blah, blah. That was a witness. See, you can turn what the devil meant for evil into good. He didn't go there for a while. After that, hallelujah. Next point, 7. Jesus said this, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Say good works. Good works. Say good works. Good works. Jesus says the way we shine to people in this world is not because we say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, you know, I dress differently, I listen to Christian music, hallelujah, I carry my Bible to work. That's not how we shine in this world. Look what Jesus said. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So the reason people want to become like us, Christians like us, is because we produce good works. So, you know how we say that we're the light of the world? So when we say we're the light of the world, guess what we say? We produce good works in the world. And not out of our own motives, like people in the world do. But we produce them because we love God. I don't do something because I want Francis to like me. I do it because I love God. You know, when it starts to overflow, you have to do something with it. You have to bless somebody. You have to give to somebody. Hallelujah. Last two points is, what kind of good works did Jesus do? Let's read. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from my Father. For which of them are you stoning me? What was the good works that Jesus did? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He walked on water and calmed the storms. He fed the people with food. So good work could be anything, especially in your gift. The gift that Jesus had was gift of healing, gift of discerning of spirits. Jesus had gift of faith working in him, right? So those are the things that he did for people. When I was younger, I would ask God, I would say, God, I want to be a healer. You know, every preacher does. I want to heal people, lay hands on them. And you know why I did that? Because of my immaturity. It was when I heal somebody, what will they say of me? That was so immature. You know, you can heal people and still miss heaven. You can cast out demons and come to the throne. And Jesus said, I do not know you. See, you got to check the motive that the good works are coming from. They could come from two things. They can come from your flesh, or they can come from the overflow of the love of God in your heart. I feed the hungry because I love people. I heal the sick because I don't want people to suffer and be sick. I cast out demons because I don't want people to be crazy and on Prozac for the rest of their life. Amen. Or I do a certain service in my... I'm a doctor because I love people. Not just for the money. Yes, money will come. I do hair because I want people to look pretty. You can do anything that could be a good work. It's just the condition of your heart. Did you know that your job could even be good works? Because Jesus said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. The works are not only spiritual. And James said, if somebody comes and is hungry and you say to him, well, brother, God bless you. Blessing people is a good work. Did you know that? But if he is hungry and I don't feed him, then Bible says that's faith without works. How do you keep your salvation? What is the sign that a person is saved? Is of the works that they begin to produce. The life that begins to change. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So what are Christians must do? It's not what they don't do. What do we do as a Christians? We should multiply in good works.